man who's covering the Eastern Conference Finals for The Athletic, who also knows some movers and shakers who say that this offseason could be a wild one in the NBA, and that means a wild one for your Cavs. Joe Vartan joins us from The Athletic. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, how the hell are you?
Oh, who can say? It's day 8 or 9 of this series. I'm talking to you from my hotel room here at the Sheraton in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's just time of year. The beat just kind of goes on.
Joe Vartan joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do you believe that the Cavaliers, I know they lost to one of these teams, do they have the talent to beat both these teams in a 7-game series?
Wow. you know, I guess, like, you go back to game 2, and they should never have lost that game. And there's 15 reasons why. And if just one of those things changes, then that is a 2-2 series, and you're not sure. But you just, I mean, like, look, I mean, I heard your intro. You know, I've been following you guys along online while I've been gone, on Twitter and whatnot, or X, whatnot. And the things you guys are talking about are the things that, like, my friends, that I, you know, and I even occasionally write about them, saying that I take advice from them as NBA fans. It's the things that we're talking about on our text threads about, like, you watch the Pacers and you watch Aaron Nesmith and you see his ankle touch the floor, which we know that hurts. And, you know, he misses zero time. And then, you know, with the Knicks, I mean, Towns is out there hobbling around and Hart hyperextended his knee. And these guys are going that extra step. Like, they're playing through stuff and they're not, it's not an issue for them. And there's just a certain level of, you know, the word gets thrown around all the time when you talk about the Cavs, toughness. You see it, like, I've just been watching it for 8 days now in this series. And so, yeah, you do make those comparisons. And so when you talk about talent, yes, I do think the Cavs have enough talent to beat either of these teams. I'm on the record being concerned about playing two small guards. But as talented players, like, you know, Donovan and Darius are up there with the best in the league. So yeah, that's there. But whether it's me or you guys or Jason Lloyd or Kobe Altman or even Kenny in sort of the way that he said it, like, we're all sort of saying that there's a toughness issue still with this team. And you could take that word any number of ways, but, like, I'm watching it on the floor now to understand what it means between these two teams, and that's where the Cavs need to get.
Joe Vartan with us. As you know, you're covering, you know, that series, which has been a very, very interesting series, just like ours was, even though it looks like it might only go 5 games. You're talking to people around the league about why these teams are excelling at the right time and why the Cavs just didn't. What seems to come up? You mentioned the toughness and the mental stuff, maybe some physical stuff too, but overall, what are you hearing from people? Are they just confused as to how we're left with these two teams right now?
No. And in fact, I mean, you know, all of Cleveland knows now how good the Pacers are. But I think we all, just in the league, because of how good the Cavs, the Thunder, and the Celtics were during the regular season, and then the Lakers trading for Doncic, it was hard to almost pay attention to anybody else. Well, the Pacers were 40-15 to end the season. And this is something they've been building for years, and it's coming to fruition, and you see the genius of it. And we've never talked about the quote-unquote genius of what the Pacers have done. But it started with the trade for Tyrese Haliburton. And then, you know, they stunk when they made the trade. They were in like 13th, I think, in the league when they pulled the trade. His first full year in the league, first full year with the Pacers, I think they were 11th. And so they knew they were bad, and they were putting the ball in his hands at the end of games. So he would have like ample experience closing games out when it matters. And we've seen him obviously play like a superstar for the most part in the clutch situations. So that's the first thing. The second thing they did is they had one star that they traded for. And then almost with precision, they have built around him with players that complement his game perfectly. I have been saying, on some of the national stuff I've been doing in this series, that the Pacers are the best system team in the tournament. They really are a system team. Like, they play a certain way, but the way they're able to do it is how they stack their roster around this one guy. So, like, that's how they've gotten this far. They play 10 guys in the postseason. Almost all of them can run, most of them can shoot, and they all play off of their star. So, like, you get it. Now, how's that going to look in a finals? Like, I certainly don't want to write this team off. I'll just say both they and the Thunder are up 3-1, so we suspect that's the finals. And the Thunder, they play a similar style to the Pacers, but they're deeper. And I think they're better, and they're certainly better defensively. So it's probably a tough matchup for the Pacers. But that's how they've done it. And you can see it, and you can see them being a problem for the next couple years.
Joe Vardon with us right now on the hotline from The Athletic. So there are a lot of rumors floating around about how crazy of an offseason this could be. And we're just a week removed from people saying, well, there's not going to be a lot done because of all the second apron stuff. Where are you landing on this? I think it was Sham saying it could be a wild, wild situation. Brian Windhorst just yesterday saying the minute the season ends, the dominoes could start to fall.
Oh, yeah. Now the wildness, I mean, you know, I assume you guys know this, like, and this has been talked about, but the wildness is not really with free agency. It's insane level stars being traded. And, you know, like there's going to be multiple, you know, champion or like all-star or like shoe deal type players who could be moved. And that will have, you know, impacts throughout the league. The way that affects the Cavs, I mean, you know, I mean, this is not the math in general. I stink at math, but math in general, and then the sort of the ins and outs of the CBA are not necessarily a strong suit for me. But the Cavs, when the new league year begins, they will become a second apron team, which is greatly restrictive as to how you can make roster moves. So when we talk about these, when we talk about the big moves come in and how does that affect the Cavs? Well, like, they won't be able to pair two players to go get the one player. So if someone says, oh yeah, the Cavs are a dark horse for Giannis. Well, I mean, I've been doing this 11 years. I don't know how that's possible because they don't have any one singular player who makes as much money as he does. So I don't get that one, but yeah, I mean, if there, you know, if there is a deal to be made, that works legally within the CBA that would make the Cavs different enough to avoid what has happened to them the last 3 years, I think they have to consider it. But I do think, you know, what Kobe said at his press conference, which I wasn't there for because it was my travel day to get to this series. But of course, I know what he said. And he was talking about like how good they feel about what they've built and they need to take another step and all that. I do think a lot of that is right. And I do think that building things takes time. And just because they have had this hurdle with toughness in the playoffs doesn't mean that they can't get past that. I just want to stress again, the thing that bothers me the most is a 6'1 guard who's really not 6'1 next to a 6'3 guard who's really not 6'3. There's only three teams in NBA history who have won like that. And so when I think about the Cavs and all that they've done right over the last 3 years, I'm concerned about that part. So is there a trade to be made to fix that? Maybe, but maybe they don't want to, and maybe they can't because of the collective bargaining agreement.
Joe Vardon joining us on the show. So of all these things, like, your fans are very quick to move Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Then they're quick to move Darius Garland. Are teams quick to go out and get those guys? Because, I mean, we had Brian Geltzeiler yesterday. He goes, I think a lot of teams would love to bring in Darius Garland. And I'm going, well, yeah, but for their wings, I don't know. So what do you think the teams would want? Like, I know that Evan Mobley, under a lot of circumstances, is untouchable. Is there actually anything realistic that they could go out and get? Like, okay, fans might be questioning a little bit, but they would 100% make these deals.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a big general broad thing. Like, would there be a possibility that Giannis would be available for Evan with the right third team involved or whatever they would have to do? Would that be something that's serious? Because I think some people really love Evan Mobley. That's great. But, you know, you got Giannis, who basically is what everybody wants Evan Mobley to become, and he'd be available right now. And I still think the window, Joe, and maybe I'm wrong, that's why we have you here, I still think the window is the same. I think it's a 2-year window with or without Evan Mobley and with or without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, I was just talking about all the things that are impossible, you know, the escalator in Evan's contract, because he was defensive player of the year and an all NBA player, raises his salary significantly. Now, I'm still not sure if it gets him to what Giannis makes. If it doesn't, then we have to stop talking about it. But if it does, then it's almost like you have an Indians/Guardians thing when we were all kids, when they could have traded Jarrett Wright for Pedro Martinez and didn't do it. You would have to think about that one, I think, if you're the Cavs. But Evan, Evan showed the growth in the regular season finally that you were looking for from him. And he has to be better still. Can he become the player that Giannis is? That's the question that they have to ask themselves. But, like, anything short of a Giannis, like, you don't move Evan because you know that he's your ticket. But he is your ticket. Like, if the Cavs are going to win the NBA Finals, their best player has to be somebody like Evan, somebody who is between 6'8 and 7 feet tall, somebody who is a two-way, who can dominate on offense and also do the things that Evan already does defensively. So Evan's partially there, but he's not all the way there. And until that happens, you know, that's the step the Cavs need to take.
All right, Joe, immediately saw last night when the Pacers won that game and they're on the brink of going to the championship, to the finals, people already started to talk about how bad the ratings are going to be. You're somebody that covers the NBA, so I imagine you don't really care because everybody in your orbit's going to be watching these games anyway. But should we care? Should the NBA care? Because on one hand, you could say, hey, you have small markets that have a chance to get to the finals. One of the big criticisms for the NBA forever is that all the good players want to go to the big markets, therefore freezing mid to small markets out. And also, this is the NFL model, right? That anybody can go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, when was the last time that we would have had a finals quite like this? Was it Cavs? Spurs, I mean, do we go back that far? Where just like neither team, you know, is a massive market. I mean, Miami, when they played the Thunder, you know, Miami is not as big of a market as we think it is, but that team had LeBron, Dwayne, and Bosch. So it sort of transcended that anyway. It's not a bad thing for the league. The league already has its $77 billion, just getting started, can't get out of that contract. So the league shouldn't care and probably doesn't. And actually, the league can use this as an opportunity. If you get a competitive game one, a compelling game one, whether people are watching or not, I wonder if they watch game two. Because the NBA, I think probably more so than any other professional sports league, really leans on the other ways to reach fans besides the linear TV and streaming. Like, they really lean into the highlights packages, to the gossip, to whatever goes on social media, and all those things. And so I think a really good game one helps the league. And the reason why I'm saying they should lean into this is, as you said, Anthony, like, you would hope that they're trying to elevate that next star. And you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just won an MVP. Can he become a household name? Like, people who don't watch the Thunder, can they see just how crazy good this guy is? And then with Tyrese, it's the same. I mean, you know, he plays in a small market with Indiana. It's a team that doesn't get a lot of a run nationally, and he's really good. And so if you're really trying to move on from the LeBron, Steph, Durant era, which we really are, you know, we're there now, this is how you do it. By you put two teams that maybe people don't know so well with players who deserve the attention on the biggest stage. See what happens.
The great Joe Vardon on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you.
Same to you guys. See you soon.
Joe Vardon on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I mean, they run, they press, they pick up defense full court. They are a fun team. They aren't about the diva players all assembling in one town to try to wield their influence over the NBA. Like, they didn't do any of that.
I remember, maybe this is a lesson to me. You know what, Kenny? Maybe you should just exactly say exactly what you mean at all times. You never have to do any of this. Because in a show that I have been misquoted on the internet about, I was misquoted on the internet about something I said about the finals a few years ago, where I said I didn't have to watch the finals because I didn't think that I was going to get any questions from anybody on this station from this fan base about that finals. I forget what the finals were. I remember, though, like, I was going to watch the finals, and I did watch them, and I'll watch them again this year. If it's Indiana and Oklahoma City, that has no bearing on me. I like mid-markets. I'm mid-market born and bred. I'm fine with that. But I remember Chuck Cooperstein, at the Mavericks play-by-play, got really mad at me. And I'm going,
well, oh, that's right. I do remember that.
You remember that? Because I think we had him on afterwards. I go, Chuck, I'm going to watch the finals. My issue is, though, is I don't think it's not even my issue. It's not a problem. I didn't think anybody in Cleveland cared. And they didn't. Didn't get one call, didn't get one tweet. Nothing. This, I do think some people will definitely care because it's Indiana. If I know Indiana's up 3-1 and teams have come back from 3-1. I get that. But more than likely, it's going to be Indiana. Indiana beats you. They do not have. Maybe I'm just going to have to come to an agreement. People are going to say that I'm an idiot. I'm going to have to come to a term here. That people are just going to say that I'm denying the truth. You are not denying to me. I believe that the Cavaliers are a better, more talented team than the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers can go and win the NBA Finals. And I'm going to say that about the Cavs over Indiana, which will make me that much more bitter about this season.
Now, people are starting to say that, and I've already seen it. I've already seen, like, God, Bill Simmons last night. Tyrese Halliburton, I got to rank him ahead of Donovan Mitchell now. Like, that is going to happen.
So we got to deal with. So, you go further in the playoffs, what goes on.
That is how we how we do start to change our opinions on players. By having consistent playoff success.
Which,
this is two straight years Indiana has now gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals. We could say last year was a fluke because of injuries. We can't say it's a fluke this year.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because I want to play some audio here. Here's Kendrick Perkins And this is from ESPN. Of all people, because usually I rip on Kendrick Perkins because I don't think he watches much of the games. I think you and I watch more games than Kendrick Perkins does, to be honest with you. But here's Kendrick Perkins on First Take. This is yesterday. And damn it, I had to consider this, and I even had to think about our dear old Cleveland Cavaliers. Hit it.
One of my good friends texted me. He said, in order to be a superstar, you have to sell out arenas on the road. So I don't know if Tyrese Halliburton is selling out arenas on the road.
Yes, we do. You do know.
There's tons of superstars selling arenas out.
How many guys do sell out arenas on the road? Does Wemby sell out arenas on the road? There are people tweeting at me that he does, and I go,
he's just playing so few games.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true yet.
Well, I don't know that it's – people are like, Wemby's coming to town. But if you go, what's there to do tonight? Oh, Wemby's here. Let's do that.
I think right now, Steph, clearly. LeBron, clearly.
Yes.
I still think KD.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I brought up Kyrie. Obviously, he's injured again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Cleveland, so when Kyrie comes to Cleveland, obviously. But I still hear a lot of young fans say they like watching Kyrie.
Think Giannis?
Boy, I don't know.
I do think people...
There is a very strong... Like, when people talk about Luka, there is a very strong... contingent, like Giannis brings a lot of Greek people to the arena. Okay. What is Luka? What's his background? I apologize.
A basketball player.
What is his nationality?
I don't see nationalities.
Stop it. You know what I'm saying. Damn it. I think that those two probably are in there that they sell it out.
Luka West came up immediately for me.
So. Great. Awesome. That's just fantastic.
Slovenian.
This is a great day.
Get the Sacchetti.
Yes. The Slovenians come to town. And in a lot of places, especially in the Midwest, they're already in town. So they come on over to the game and they see it.
Yeah, but you're right. The NBA does not have, as much as they are pushing Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is amazing. People are not buying tickets, loading up to watch him.
I have to admit, what's going to really make this a bad, bad, bad finals and a tough offseason here is that if you have to admit that about Tyrese Halliburton, where it's like, all right, you know what? Damned if I do, damned if I don't. I think that Donovan Mitchell is the better overall basketball player. But Tyrese Halliburton is going to be the one that's playing in the finals here in a week. So guess what? Tyrese Halliburton has to go above Donovan Mitchell. It's not fair, but it's the truth. It's the NBA. But if Tyrese Halliburton ain't selling out arenas on the road, is Donovan selling out arenas on the road? No.
Now, Will Halliburton.
I hate that.
Will Halliburton, as America is getting to know him, he wasn't a household name coming out of Iowa State.
I think everything that's happened this postseason, including his, and probably credited to his father and the whole thing that went down, I think that makes it even more. My gauge is, can I ask my children who aren't NBA fans? You know, they like the Cavs. They know who are on the Cavs roster. If I ask them, hey, this guy's coming to town, you want to go see him? And they say yes, then he's probably close.
But he's now had some.
Test, yes.
He's also had some all-time playoff game-winning
moments.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. My kids did not know who Tyrese Halliburton was a month ago, and they absolutely do now. And part of that's because he played the Cavs. But I think because of the other things that have went around, the game-winning shots, not even the Cavs series, but all the other ones, I think if you ask him right now, they would know who he is.
And I got to say, like, just stylistically, you have a point guard that gets the ball, sprints 100 miles down the floor, then has all the ball, even though he's lankier than the guys with the tight handles, the Kyries, the Stephs. Hey, Darius has got great handles, fun to watch, but Tyrese looks a little gangly doing it. But you saw him when he gets guys like Karl Anthony Towns or Jared Allen, when he gets them in space, I mean, he makes them fall down. He makes them look really bad. And then he has that sprint backwards three-pointer. We've seen step backs. I've not seen a guy that could take five steps directly behind him to find the three-point line to shoot threes.
You're right.
I do think that is entertaining.
And if he does that, I don't know how many people in the finals are going to be watching, but if you do that at that advanced level, that makes you a star. But if you're not a superstar and my guy is not even taken as seriously as that guy, then where does it put our team? These are mean thoughts that just wrap me up into a pretzel. That's what bothers me. 216-474-0092.
I want to ask our callers. I know they're on to talk Cavs, but I want to know how dialed in they'll be to the NBA Finals.
Well, Ken in Brooklyn is the first one we take.
There we go.
Hello, Ken.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Look, Ken, I agree with you that the Cavs are a more talented team than the Indiana Pacers, okay? And, you know, I'm so tired of this city wanting instant gratification. You know what? If there's anybody else that wants to see another championship in this town, it's me, everybody. Me, the mayor of hoops, okay? But for you people to sit there and think you know something about basketball and you want to trade all these guys, and we had 2 years now that everybody's been hurt, you're a bunch of morons.
So you don't want to trade anybody?
No.
Oh, okay.
Look, hey, Ken, look.
I'm just asking. Ken,
you just asked Joe Vardon if people would want J.A. or Darius. And he said, yeah, a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot right there. You have a coach that's turned this around. Let's see what this team looks like when everybody's hurt and they're doing their job. I mean, we had a catastrophic thing happen. I mean, with Ty, what happened? What happened to his shot? It, like, disappeared until the last game and it didn't mean anything. You guys have got to stop because you've got this device in your hand that you see everything right now. You've got to take time. Do you know how long it's taken the Indiana Pacers to get to this point? It's like 6 or 7
years. Years and years.
Yeah, you people are all idiots. If you don't know anything about basketball, don't call.
So, Ken, would you
for Pascal Siakam and now they're here?
Yeah, would you have been telling the Boston Celtics not to make any trades a few years ago when the trades that they made got them to win a championship?
You know what? I'll tell you what. You got a team that is jacking up threes. They think that's the way to go. That's not the way to go. Look what happened to us. I'll tell you what I would do next year, guys. This is what I'm going to do.
What?
The guards, if you're 2-for-20 from the three line, hey, as J.A. would say, feed your local big man because I'd rather take 2 than get nothing. I'm so tired of these people jacking up threes because the analytics say so. No, I want to get shots done, and you got 2 7-footers down there that everybody that they can score on anybody in the league.
Yeah, well, we want the other guy to shoot more threes. Ken, hold, and thank you for the call. I appreciate the passion. What I got to tell you though is, you got to be open for business on anything. I hear about Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm gonna get excited about that. I'm not trading Evan Mobley for anybody. Giannis, okay, I'll listen. I don't think it's realistic. I don't know if it could happen. I'm going to wait until I see any opportunities because I'm assuming right now, as of right now, and I really do believe that by the time the season starts, it's going to be the same core four as what we've had these last couple of years. And they're just going to have find a way to get it better because it's hard
very hard right
to do
now.
It. And I don't believe in shaking it up just to shake it up. I don't believe in that.
It'll be very interesting because Kobe Altman, we were talking about him as an executive of the year. In a way, we've never talked about an executive, one that didn't do anything, one that just brought back the same team and then got back Ty Jerome off the injury. So now the question is, do we rely on that again? Is it going to be smart to just assume guys get better? Because I am assuming Mobley's going to get better. Donovan, over the next few years, I think will take a step back. Mm. Will we time it up right where if he takes a step back, yet Mobley takes enough of a step forward that it's going to be good enough to get out of the East? That is the question I'm going to be looking at very closely.
All right, you want to bring it up, bring it up.
People are wondering why we're not talking about one of the team leaders, not only not in OTAs, not only not in Berea or Cleveland, not only not in the state of Ohio, not only not in the country, not only not in the continent. But that Myles Garrett is in Japan right now. Is that something we should have led with?
No.
Does this mean that he was all talk when it came to becoming one of the leaders, one of the vocal leaders? Can he be a vocal leader at OTAs if he's not there?
Damn it. They paying him to do that. They're paying him to get 16 sacks this year.
Are they going
to
zoom him in?
If he does what he's paid to do, I don't care. I'm not going to be met. Am I making excuses for Miles now? Am I being shill for Miles? When have I asked Miles to be a leader? I think he's flirted with it once. I wish he would. He ain't. He's not a leader, so he's not where he needs to be. Miles is a great player. Nice guy. Not a leader. Mitch is a nice guy. He ain't a leader. Like, there's plenty of guys who are nice guys, and they're good at what they do. Mitch someday will be one of those people, I hope. I'm kidding. But they're not leaders. So Keith Britton's a leader, as much as I regret to say sometimes. Keith's a leader. Miles ain't, no.
Do fans...
You draw umbrage with what I just said.
No, but I think the fans expect it now because he wanted out...
He was getting paid $125 million before.
Oh, you don't think fans think that he should be one of the leaders of the team?
If they expect that of him, I'm sorry, but I think that that's their mistake. I guess we should talk about this more tomorrow. I didn't realize this was such a hot-button issue. Yeah, I thought it was common sense.
I've never been a real big, like, OTA, minicamp, like, draw big conclusions.
Oh, I am.
I do know that the team is in desperate need of some leadership. They are. I'm going to go ahead and assume that if you're looking for Myles Garrett to be one of those guys, you're probably looking in the wrong direction. And that's going to drive people crazy.
So you agree with me?
Yeah, I think I do. But I'm saying I think fans are going to hear that and they're going to go ballistic. They're going to say, why did somebody who did everything he can to embarrass the franchise over the course of, you know, what was it, a month?
Oh, he didn't do everything he could to embarrass the franchise. He could have embarrassed the franchise a hell of a lot more.
Radio Row. And
so? He got what he wanted. It was a public negotiation. He didn't do anything. What did, in the grand scheme of things, what did Miles do to embarrass the organization? He didn't do anything. He wanted more money. He got more money. He didn't call Browns fans a bunch of words. He didn't do any of that.
That's not the organization. Fans aren't the organization.
But if you have your biggest player calling fans words, that would be an embarrassment to the organization. He didn't do anything to embarrass the organization.
Well, he did say in the letter what me and you know to be true, and the fans that took shots at Miles at the time were like, well, he's saying things that we all mostly think, which is, who's the quarterback? Where's the direction of the franchise? Mm-hmm. Do they have a direction of the franchise as of right now, May 28th?
If the organization was...
quarterback.
If the organization was embarrassed...
Do they have a quarterback?
They got four of them.
Do they have a quarterback?
No, that's not the answer, man.
It's like my grandpa's house. You got four cars sitting out there in the driveway. Yeah, but I can't drive any of them. So what are you going to be able to do? None of them will start up. Damn it. Wish I would have known about that earlier. He didn't embarrass the organization. If anything, the organization embarrassed themselves. He's just been a great player for him. I understand that there's been some things that some people will allege you would have embarrassed the organization. I don't think it's the best idea to rip Mason Rudolph's helmet off his head and try to hit him with it. However, hold on. However, based on what I know, I don't blame him for it. You didn't embarrass me. Very upset man that night. And based on what I know, probably would have been too. 216-474-0092. You want to do Cavs? You want to get Cavs calls? You want to do? Because we got all day to do Miles. I didn't realize that was such a hot button issue.
I'd say take line four.
All right, fine. Vince and Avon Lake. He's good buddies with Owen, I imagine. He's next up on the fan.
How are you guys today?
Doing well, Vince. You go right on ahead.
I'm just pissed off that Miles Garrett thinks it's all right to post in Tokyo when we have other guys out here going to work.
No, you don't.
He needs
you're
to
not
be a
mad.
Leader to these guys.
You're not mad.
Oh, I'm pissed.
No, you're I'm not. Pissed. I can already tell you're not mad.
I'm not mad. I'm pissed.
No, you're not. I don't believe you for a second, Vince. I don't believe you're mad.
I am pissed.
Roll the window down and yell how mad you are without cussing.
All right, you got me.
I told you, Vince. Oh, there we go. I told you, Vince. Wow. I told you I knew
Sorry,
you were mad.
Sorry, Vince. See you later.
That was sweet team music. It is a
Oh, fine.
Ask him.
Who, Demos?
Yeah.
Yeah, Demos is a passionate person. Demos.
That's right. I'm very passionate.
You are, I'm not passionate enough. You will talk about Cavs. You will get your Cavs take in, I swear to God. All right?
Okay.
On my kids, I will get your Cavs take in. Are you mad that Miles isn't at OTAs?
No, I could care less. I hope he has a good time. Tokyo is a fun city.
Congratulations on both your success for being able to go to Tokyo.
Yeah, that's right.
I've only been able to watch him on Instagram.
Okay, so, Cavs. you're not, you guys aren't idiots. That last, that caller that called you idiots because of your take.
Well, that, I think he was calling fans idiots. That's Ken in Brooklyn.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's my take on this.
Mm-hmm.
We ran into a buzzsaw with the Pacers because Halliburton got named as the most overrated player right before the playoffs, and he had something to prove. Okay.
That's true.
And he's doing that to the Knicks. He did it to us. And you throw in Rick Carlisle, probably out coaching Kenny Atkinson, you know, in his first big playoff appearance here. Because think about how these games went. Every time it looked like we were going to make a run or do something, they would change things up. And I think that Carlisle deserves a lot of credit for how that team's playing. And as far as changing the Cavs, like, you know, doing all these trades, would I like Giannis here? Well, as a Greek, for sure. But I don't. I like Mobley too, so I think we just need one more big man, and that's it. And I don't mean getting rid of our four. I'm just saying, just get rid of Tristan and get somebody that can play, because that's what we need. We don't need another Austin Hedges in the locker room like Tristan has been. So take it easy.
All right, Demos. Thank you very much for the call. That was really nice and sensible. Thank you very much. See what? What are you looking at him for?
Just communicating some things. I think Demos is along the lines of thinking where I'm coming from, which is,
what are you two communicating?
I think anytime you have a chance to get better, I think you gotta, especially in this Donovan Mitchell window that I think they're in right now, unless you think it's all about a Mobley window instead. But is Donovan Mitchell going to be a part of that?
Yes, at least for the next couple of years. What were you two communicating?
About Donovan Mitchell.
No, I looked up from my phone. I was looking at something here about the Miles, and you
Your head
looked,
should always be up, Ken.
What were you looking at each other for? Tell me what you were talking about, what you were doing behind my back. What was it?
I'm just trying to figure out how the Cavs can get better, Kenny.
That what it was?
Yes.
But that look you just gave to Owen? Is that what that was?
We're concerned for the Cavs. Ever heard of them? Basketball team in town again.
I'll see you in hell.